We're already, right? Could you establish a quorum, please, Bob?
Okay. Dave Stewart.
Fred.
Rick Caudill.
Here.
Steve Adams.
Here.
Brad Lawrence is not here this evening. Doug Fabian.
Here.
Randy Fogle.
Here.
Randy Hayes.
Here.
Ronnie Melton.
Here.
And George Kramer.
Here.
We have established a quorum.
Could you explain the meeting procedures, please?
Okay, I'd like to welcome you to the March 9th, 2015 Taney County Planning Commission public hearing. Public hearings are required and governed by the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code and are held for each Division 3 permit application, which is filed with the Planning Commission staff. At this time, I'd like to enter the Taney County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B, and the staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, is Exhibit C for all the cases to be heard at the public hearing this evening. A staff report for each case will be read, followed by a video presentation of each site and any questions for staff. If you wish to comment at the public hearing this evening, as the chairman had indicated, there's a sign-up sheet at the front of the room for each individual case. Registration for comment will cease before the public hearing begins. When it's your opportunity to speak, your name will be called. Please proceed to the podium at the front of the room in order to address the Planning Commission. All comments and questions are to be addressed directly to the Planning Commission and not to anyone in attendance in the audience. The public hearing shall be closed upon the conclusion of the public comment. The Division 3 applications heard this evening will be voted upon next Monday, March 16th, at the Planning Commission regular meeting. You may leave after your case has been heard. Thank you so much.
Okay, first up is a Muddy Man Storage.
Okay, this is case number 2014-12. The project is Muddy Man Storage Branson. The applicant on this is Your Land Office, LLC. And the representative is Jerry Jeske. This property is located in the 200 block of Shepherd of the Hills Expressway, Branson. We'll kind of zoom in here. And this is the property in question. It's in the Branson Township, Section 30, Township 23, Range 21. And we've got some pictometry aerials from the north, south, east, and west of the property in question. The applicant, Your Land Office, LLC, is requesting approval of a Division 3 permit to allow for the development of a self-storage facility. The subject property is a vacant 1.6-acre meets and bounds described tract of land located, like I said, in the 200 block of the Shepherd of the Hills Expressway, immediately west of the intersection of Shepherd of the Hills and State Highway 248. The property in question is bounded by the municipal limits of the city of Branson on all four sides. The current application was approved for concept on February 17th of this year. Again, the applicant is proposing to utilize the entire tract for a self-storage facility. Basically, the applicant's seeking a Division 3 permit, which would authorize the development of the self-storage facility, which would have approximately 26,750 square feet of storage space, including 3,200 square feet of climate-controlled storage space. The representative has indicated basically that this climate-controlled storage space will replace what he was originally looking at as a laundry and office facility during the concept hearing. The proposed buildings in question will be prefabricated steel buildings on concrete foundations with fiberglass roll-up doors. The representative has indicated that the facility will be operated remotely from the company's existing offices in Rockaway Beach and also via an on-site kiosk. The storage facility will be fenced with a chain-link fence topped with three strands of barbed wire. The parking lots and driveways will be asphalt pavement. The applicant has indicated that stormwater will be directed to a detention basin in the southeast corner of the property. The self-storage facility will be served by a commercial driveway off of Shepherd of the Hills Expressway, located in the southwest corner of the property. Matt Felice, assistant city engineer with the City of Branson, has informally indicated to the staff that the city will not have any issues with the proposed curb cut in Shepherd of the Hills Expressway at the southwest corner of the property. The representative has indicated that the storage facility will not have an on-site office facility and therefore will not require water or sewer service. The proposal, however, is contiguous with the corporate limits of the City of Branson. The planning staff early on did receive a response from Joel Hornicle, the planning director of the City of Branson, who requested at that time that the Planning Commission require that a sewer connection be made for this property, thus requiring annexation into the City of Branson. Due to the addition of a large amount of impervious surface, a stormwater management plan will be required. David Miller, Branson City Engineer and Public Works Director, informally indicated in an email that there is a wet weather spring under the Shepherd of the Hills Expressway in really that area in question. And it's not a requirement, but he was really recommending that the applicant place under drains or perforated pipe under the parking area to ensure that the parking lot doesn't fail in the future. The adjoining property, essentially north, south, east, and west, is all various commercial uses, and like I said, it is completely surrounded by the City of Branson, basically. The project received a score of 1 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 13. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of use compatibility. The staff recommendations on this: if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code that include plans for the following: sediment erosion control, stormwater management, land grading permit for all non-agricultural land disturbances of over 1 acre, utility easements and building line setbacks, and E, improvements with scale of buildings, streets, on-site parking, and utilities. 2, compliance letters from the Branson Public Works Department, the Western Taney County Fire Protection District, and the Missouri Department of Natural Resources shall be submitted to the Planning Department office, including all of their entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature. 3, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. 4, shall the development require the provision of sewer service in the future, the property owner shall connect to Branson Municipal Sewer. 5, this decision is subject to all existing easements. 6, Division 2 permits shall be required for all applicable structures in the development. 7, prior to the issuance of Division 2 certificates of conformance, the developer shall first present a certificate of occupancy from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District to the Planning Department office. And 8, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds office within 120 days, or the approval shall expire. And got just a really brief video of this one. And this is the property in question. Just do a quick 360 and show the adjoining land uses. Thank you.
Okay, the representative here, Jerry. Are they a representative here for this?
I'll make a motion that we table it and give them some more time to proceed on with the other projects.
I'll second it.
Everybody in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Who seconded that?
Ronnie.
Okay, let's move on to the Sycamore Creek Family Ranch.
Okay, this is case number 2015-2. The project is the Sycamore Creek Family Ranch. The applicant is Marie Fulkerson. The representatives are Michael and Lisa Button. And the property in question is located at 2657 Sunset Inn Road. And we'll zoom in here on the property in question. This is located in the Scott Township, and it's sections 15 and 22, Township 23, Range 21. The representatives, Michael and Lisa Button, are requesting approval of a Division 3 permit authorizing the development of the Sycamore Creek Family Ranch. This is to be an agritourism and ministry-based development proposal, which includes an extensive list of proposed uses as described in the general description. The representatives have indicated that the Sycamore Creek Family Ranch will be located upon four adjoining parcels of land with a total acreage of approximately 139.39 acres. And basically the four parcels in question are located right in this area here. And then the representatives are also proposing to lease two additional properties from Empire District Electric, and those two parcels have an additional 105.6 acres approximately. On June 17th, 2013. The Planning Commission previously approved Division 3 permit 2013-11 for the same property, and that approved a 245-unit Veterans Victory Village at that time that was to be held in condominium-style ownership. And, of course, that did not develop, and so now we are hearing this proposal. Like I said, it'll sit on a total of six adjoining parcels, with two of those parcels, again, being leased from Empire District Electric. Total, those six parcels are equivalent to approximately 245 acres. This proposed phase development will combine components of agritourism and ministry. The representatives have indicated that the focal point of the proposed ranch will be a large, nicely finished barn, where many of the activities and also special events, such as weddings, will be held. And this is essentially the activity barn here. Again, the representatives have indicated that this development will be phased. Phase one would include basically the barn area. Everything in phase one they've shown in more or less kind of a red shading here. And you can kind of see the list that's that's proposed within phase one. And phase two is essentially in this kind of pinkish color. And I'll let the applicants explain in more detail all of these specific uses. And then we've got phase three basically in the blue. And phase four would potentially be the lodging or cabins. In review, the Sycamore Creek Family Ranch, again, will be developed in phases over a number of years. The representatives have submitted a master plan indicating the development upon completion, and also a phase map indicating the location of the four phases of the development proposal. Since mixed uses are proposed, per the provisions of the parking provisions of the Development Guidance Code, basically the parking would be determined based upon, since it is a mixed use, there would be parking requirements associated with each specific use. However, the representatives will have adequate property area to ensure adequate parking. The issuance of the Division 2 permit for the barn structure, for example, will require the provision of a specific number of parking spaces. The area in question is not currently served by sewer, so basically, based upon the specific uses established, the wastewater flows, which may exceed 3,000 gallons per day, would require the approval of a wastewater treatment plant via the Missouri Department of Natural Resources. A large portion of the property that's being leased from Empire District Electric actually does fall within the floodplain as defined by FEMA. The only structure that's indicated on the site plan as being located within the floodplain would be the restrooms. On this Friday, I spoke with Jeff Lebeda, the land administration with Empire District Electric, concerning the portion of the Sycamore Creek Family Ranch that is proposed to be located on Lake Shoreline land leased from Empire. And at that time, he basically indicated that that area would need to be kept in a natural or grassy state, and Empire really does not wish for any of their property that's being leased to be tilled or dug upon. He did also indicate that the restrooms and parking area would likely have to be moved off of the Empire property. He did, however, indicate that such uses as the boat dock, camping area, and biking and hiking trail may be possible, but would require the approval of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and so that'll be another approval process at the federal level. The staff is recommending a condition in which a copy of the lease agreement between the Sycamore Creek Family Ranch and the Empire District Electric Company is provided to the Planning Department office. The staff further recommends submission of these FERC approvals, if required, based upon the proposed uses on the leased Empire District Electric Company land. The adjoining property immediately to the north, of course, is Lake Taneycomo. The adjoining property immediately to the south is the National Institute of Marriage. The adjoining property immediately to the east is vacant property owned by the Empire District Electric Company and also the College of the Ozarks. The project received a score of negative 28 on the policy checklist out of a possible maximum score of 53. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of emergency water supply, solid waste disposal service, use compatibility, underground utilities, and traffic. The staff recommendations on this: if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code that include plans for the following: sediment and erosion control, stormwater management, land grading permit for all disturbances over 1 acre, utility easements and building line setbacks, improvements with scale of buildings, streets, on-site parking, and utilities. A traffic impact study shall be submitted to the Taney County Road and Bridge Department and the Missouri Department of Transportation. G, an engineering public improvement plan shall be submitted to and approved by the Taney County Road and Bridge Department prior to the completion of road improvements to Sunset Inn Road. Second, compliance letters from the Taney County Road and Bridge Department, the Western Taney County Fire Protection District, the Missouri Department of Natural Resources, the Missouri Department of yeah, the Missouri Department of Transportation, the Empire District Electric Company, and the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission shall be submitted to the Planning Department office, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature. Three Division II permits shall be required for all applicable structures in the development. Four, the representatives shall either submit a compliance letter from the on-site wastewater permitting division of the Planning Department or shall provide a valid construction permit for a wastewater treatment plant system via the Missouri Department of Natural Resources, providing for the applicable wastewater flows prior to the issuance of applicable Division II permits. Prior to the issuance of Division II certificates of conformance, the developer shall first present a certificate of occupancy from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District to the Taney County Planning Department office. Six, the representative shall submit a DNR construction permit for a well or wells to provide service to the Sycamore Creek Family Ranch. The representative shall provide proof of liability insurance to the Taney County Planning Department prior to the opening day of operation. Eight, the representative shall work in conjunction with the Taney County Road and Bridge Department to ensure that upgrades are made to Sunset Inn Road between Ladybug Road and the entrance to the Sycamore Creek Family Ranch property as allowed within the existing road right-of-way as warranted based upon traffic volumes. Nine, the internal roadways within the Sycamore Creek Family Ranch development shall be constructed in compliance with the Taney County Road and Bridge standards. 10, a copy of the lease agreement between the Sycamore Creek Family Ranch and the Empire District Electric Company shall be provided to the Planning Department office. 11, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. 12, this decision is subject to all existing easements. And 13, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days of the approval shall expire. We've got a current video, and then the property had been formally videoed in 2013, so I do still have those videos if any. And this is just a quick 360 right at the entrance of the property off of Sunset Inn Road. We didn't end up driving through this time, and so this is actually previous footage of the property. Oops. Speed this up a little bit.
I'm ready for that.
Yeah. Green grass.
Speed this up a little bit. I've got more footage that I think we'll want to. Okay.
That makes some good hay right there. Representatives Michael and Lisa.
Hello, how are y'all? Thank you all for your time tonight. We appreciate you allowing us to speak before you tonight. My name is Mike. Easy. My name is Mike Button. This is my wife, Lisa. And we appreciate the opportunity to tell you about what our project is and what we're trying to do.
First, I just want to share something from the University of Nebraska Family Life Specialists. They state that families are the basic foundational social units in all human communities around the world, and healthy individuals within healthy families are at the core of a healthy society. Today, the number of married adults and the percentage of children under age 18 living in a two-parent home is at an all-time low. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of healthy families in our society, and that's really impacting a lot of people. Families are breaking down across the board. We have a lot of adults walking around in society who have been damaged by divorce. They're literally walking wounded. 75% of teen suicides are children of single parents. 75% of young men in prison are from fatherless homes. And we recognize from personal experience and just in looking at the culture how great the need is to build into families. And so we're going to do our part in our little corner of the world to build families that last. And our mission is to transform the culture by strengthening families.
The intent for the property is for us to be able to do a lot of different events and special activities. Weddings, I think you had mentioned weddings before, is one of the things we would do. We want to have an environment where families can come out and spend, you know, hours at a time and, you know, do things like hay rides and corn mazes and pumpkin patches and blueberry picking or what. I mean, we have a list, and you saw the list of ideas that we have. But the idea is to have an environment that the families can come to, a safe environment. We're also going to have special events and activities. We want to focus on being able to help families with special needs kids, single-parent families, those kind of things as well. So we have a broad vision, but a lot of exciting things we're trying to do. The basis, and I don't know if any of you have heard the term agritourism before, but that's kind of the basis of what we're trying to do. So kind of taking agriculture and tourism and kind of blending them together. In a ranch setting, you know, families are outdoors. They have a lot of green space and a lot of ability to, and activities that we're going to have that they're going to be able to bond and create memories that are going to last a lifetime. As Bob said in our plan, this plan is over many years. This isn't something we're planning on doing tomorrow. It's going to take a lot of capital and a lot of time to get this thing done. I did also talk to the Jeff from Empire Electric, and I'm aware of what he was saying on as far as the lower fields, and we had ideas, and Jeff and I are actually meeting on Thursday to kind of talk more detail of as far as what they'll allow and what we can do. So we're going to work on the details of that and work within what Empire will allow us to do. So I guess our plans were a little bigger than what they would like to see. But anyway, so we'll work with them on that. The barn, as Bob mentioned, we're going to have a large barn. I think it's right now the plans plan for about a 7,000 square foot barn, so it's going to be a large barn, nicely appointed barn. That'll kind of be our focal point for the property. And again, we'll have weddings, private events. We hope to have retreats and those kind of things as well. The one thing that I want to also, I guess, be on record for as well is that we want to honor the integrity. Our goal is to honor the integrity of the land and keep it as natural as possible, and also to be a good neighbor to those of our neighbors, those that are adjoining land, those that are on Sunset Inn Road. We want to be a good neighbor to those people as well. As far as, and I don't know how much detail you want to go as far as employees, to start off, there's really probably going to only be a couple of two or three employees, pretty minimal to start with. Our goal is, and then we would have seasonal help in the fall, for example, when there's more activity going on. Our goal in the second year then would be to have potentially four to five full-time employees. As far as the traffic flow, we have projections that we've put together. You know, we're looking at, for a wedding, for example, is probably 40 to 50 cars would come in for a wedding based on our projections. In the fall would be probably the busiest time. And in the fall, we're looking at probably 36, 35 or so cars during the weekday and maybe up to 60 cars a day on the weekend. And this, again, these are projections that we, you know, unfortunately, we don't have a crystal ball to tell you for sure what it's going to be. But based on the research that we've done and what we've seen, we're looking at that. And then what else is there? And then lastly, I guess, I just wanted to say, I mean, we're excited about this project. Obviously, we've been working on this for 3 years. We were here, 2 years ago with a different piece of property that didn't work out. And we think it's going to create a lot of additional jobs for the community. There's going to be also sales tax or tax revenues that will be generated from it. And it'll be also good for, as you know, Branson's known for tourism. It'll be do nothing but boost that, as well as be a great way to strengthen families of the Branson and Forsyth and the local families that are in the area as well. So that's our project. We appreciate your time again. And
has anybody got any questions for them at this time?
You have just paid operating as a not-for-profit at any time?
We started off as a non-for-profit, and we actually, this is when we were here probably the last time. Mm-hmm. And since then, for a lot of different reasons, we actually switched it to a for-profit. We kept the non-profit side of it just for be able to scholarship like families that want to come out, like say mm-hmm. single-parent families that can't afford to pay to come out, military.
Yeah, to put on events, service. To put on events for military families
so
or single moms.
So we want to keep our nonprofit part to be able to fund some of those activities. But as a basically, it's going to be run as a for-profit. Will not be run as a
for-profit. And one of the reasons we decided on the for-profit, it allows us to maintain more control. We can make this a family legacy. But also, we really felt like it was important to pay taxes to support our community. That's really important to us. We really think that we want to contribute in that way as well, so that we can support the community and all the great things that are going on in Taney County and the Branson area. So that was an intentional decision on our part.
So you might have an event or two, but be operating like it's a 501c3 or something during that event?
Well, the event would still be, I don't know if it necessarily be nonprofit, but the nonprofit, it's basically a shell that we would have that there's funds in there right now. And we would use those funds to be able to operate and to host these events that we have.
Yeah, specific types of events where we wouldn't want to charge, like, for instance, the single moms or single parents or military families, people like that, where we want it to be a complimentary thing for them. So.
Okay. Any other questions?
Have you got any of these approved that you're going to have to before you start on it?
What's that?
Like the road.
Uh-huh.
Are you going to rebuild the road?
I guess my hope on the road is that we could work together with the county and as the volumes warrant it, and I think that's what we propose is the volumes. Because right now, if we improve the road day one, we don't know if we're going to have any people coming down the road. So to me, it would make more sense if we could work on building the road and work with the county on that, partner with you guys on it, as the volumes warrant it, then we work on, you know, widening it within that current right-of-way that's there.
We had met in Bob's office. We discussed various things, but basically a lot of information we still need is basically traffic volumes. What are we looking at for the future? What part of it? And one thing, and Bob's already got it on there as part of the compliances, mm-hmm. is that portion of the roadway between Ladybug and the entrance to this property is one of the areas that's going to need improvement, depending on traffic volumes and what phase of this project they're at that point.
Yeah, day one, I mean, we don't know if we could have 5 cars, we could have 50 cars, we don't know, but if we could work, I guess that would be our goal, is to work with the county on, as it's warranted, work with you guys on trying to, you know, make the road accommodate whatever the volume, whatever the traffic is that's coming in there.
Anybody else got any questions?
Well, it's stipulated in here that you will have to have sewer and anything that's required by the DNR to support that. Do you have a background of that to see what that's going to require?
We have, well, and again, I think.
Scott.
Yeah.
Scott Sterrett.
Well, Scott was in the meeting as well. But, yeah, we did talk to Scott about based on the 3,000 gallons per day, I believe, was the threshold. Over that, you have to have the DNR's approval. And under that, I guess that's
a little commercial thing like
this. That's correct.
Yeah.
I kind of had a question about that, too, because he was saying that until we get the lodging, we may not need that.
He didn't think,
I don't know. He didn't seem to think we needed it.
Do you remember that, Bob,
in
that meeting? If he,
it really depends on. I know that he uses the health department regulations,
right.
and the state health department regs break everything out by use. And so depending on what uses they would begin with and the size of the building, basically they may be able to start with some type of on-site system. But likely before this project's completed,
they would have to connect to a
treatment plant, more than likely.
Well, that's a major concern, right there on the lake, second tanks.
Sure.
That may not be a good thing.
Anybody else? Okay, you guys can sit down, please, and we'll... Jim Stevenson.
Good evening. My name is Jim Stevenson, and in the interest of full disclosure, I'm a licensed real estate agent here in Branson, and I have the privilege of working with Mr. and Mrs. Button on this project and have been working with them for quite a number of years, as they indicated earlier, trying to find a location that would accommodate this. But I also wanted to take a minute to voice my sincere support for this project that I feel is so needed in so many different levels for our county, for our city, for our area. I've been selling real estate in Branson now for about 18 years. And I've watched over the last 7 of those 18 years as home prices in our market have at best remained flat, and in many cases, they've cratered. I've showed a 2-bedroom condominium this afternoon in Holiday Hills that back in 2004, 2005 probably would have had a market value of about $125,000. It's got brand new paint. They put brand new carpet in it. It's vacant. It's currently on the market for $79,000. Most everybody that lives in our area for more than a few years knows that over the last several years, multiple theaters have closed down. Many hotels are struggling to make ends meet. A lot of these hotels have had to go to this weekly rental stay to try to keep their lights turned on. In the last several months alone in downtown Branson, there have been 2 restaurants that have gone out of business. I've lost track of how many magicians have literally disappeared from our market. With very limited exception, there are almost no speculative single-family home developments under construction in our market right now. I met a client at the Branson Airport a few months ago who happened to fly in his private plane. He's looking at building a home here for himself and his wife. He'd never been to our airport before. He wanted to walk through the facility to see it because he had heard of it. And as we walked through the facility, it's my memory, this was sometime in November. It was on a weekday, and it was at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. As we walked through the facility, all the lights were on. There was music playing over the speakers. Every couple of minutes, there would be an announcement of some type of a public address. But there were no people. None. Not one. It was almost eerie. It was like it was a movie set where aliens had come and taken everybody. Which brings me to my support of this project. Our community is in dire need of new businesses, and unlike parts of Texas and the Dakotas over the last few years where people have been lining up to start them, we don't have that here. People who are willing to take what amounts to a huge risk with their capital and invest in our community, invest the time, the energy, the effort, and the resources necessary to create something out of nothing. And this particular business model fits so well with what we have here, with what we stand for. The name, Sycamore Creek Family Ranch. Branson has been, ever since I've been here in 18 years, about families and about supporting families. And it's something that we don't already have 2 of or 15 of. It's something that will give families from outside of the area yet another reason to come to our area and spend their money here at our stores, and our restaurants, and our hotels, all those places that provide our community with the jobs and the incomes necessary for us to raise our families. In my business, I've learned one thing over the years. When you have 2 people who are willing to try to work together to make a deal happen, you can usually make a deal happen. With that said, I'd like to thank the members of this committee for listening, for your service, and for your time and consideration of this proposal. Thank you, gentlemen.
Brad Hoffman.
I don't have anything else to add.
Okay. Jim.
Bronner.
Jim Bronner, Taney County, long time, former Oliver Township rep, and just want to say thank you for serving. I know from experience what a task that is, and also an honor to be able to do that and represent this community. I just want to say, looking at it in the long term, I've known Marie Fulkerson for quite a long time and her husband, Jim, and I've been out on that property and I've helped Jim's son, Steve, vaccinate cattle and around there and taken my mountain bike through there and done the obstacle course through the cow paddies and enjoyed it on the live spring on the backside and the lakefront. And I think it's ideal. I love that to get to see Marie quite often as a chaplain for over at Cox and see her diligently volunteer her time and know that the dreams of Jim and Marie were to see something perhaps like this that would be dedicated to ministry. I love the idea of agritourism. When I say agritourism, that's one word that says Western Taney County, Eastern Taney County, in one word. I've never thought of it in terms of any other way. And it would be a merging of the East and the West, basically, to see something like this phenomenal happen and preserve those things that are on the eastern side of Taney County and bring it to the western where it's really needed. I love the way that it has been written from experience because I see compliance. I see that there's a rule of law that will be complied to. I appreciate that. And it takes a lot of hard work to get that done, whether it's the DNR, planning and zoning, Empire District Electric, and I see that that is happening. I also know the reputation of the Buttons, and I will say that they are a compliant couple that will follow the rule of the law, but also preserve what family stands for. I know the I's have been dotted and the T's have crossed, and you have a decision before you, and I know that's not until next week, but this is something that's needed within this community to keep Branson strong, and I say Branson, Taney County, strong for families. So thank you for your time.
Has any of the committee got any more questions for Michael or Lisa? Nope. Okay. 16th?
Yeah, March 16th.
That'll be our regular meeting, and we'll vote on it at that time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Branson, Nantucket.
Okay, this is case number 2015-3. The project is Branson's Nantucket. The applicant is Branson's Nantucket, LLC. The representative on this is Justin Gage. And this property is located at the southwest corner of the intersection of State Highway 376 and State Highway 265. And here's the property in question. It's in the Branson Township, Section 3, Township 22, Range 22. The applicant, Branson's Nantucket, is requesting the approval of a Division 3 permit authorizing the development of the site is a phase of Branson's Nantucket. This will be a resort development with up to 280 multifamily condominium units. Branson's Nantucket Condominium Resort Development will be located upon an approximately 26.18-acre parcel of land. I don't know where I got that. Sorry about that. Again, this will be located on approximately 26.18 acres and will be up to 380 condominium units consisting of, excuse me, three 10-story buildings, and also 34 additional single units. These will all be held in, again, condominium style of ownership. The municipal limits of the city of Branson is located on the other side of State Highway 265. The current application was approved for concept on February 17th, 2015. The proposed Branson's Nantucket development, again, will be located on this 26.18-acre tract. Will contain up to 380 condominium units, consisting of three 10-story buildings and 34 additional single units. Per the provisions of of the parking standards of the Development Guidance Code, 1.5 spaces would be required per two-bedroom dwelling unit. And basically, the site plan indicates a total of 703 parking spaces, which would exceed that minimum requirement. Per the provisions of Section 4.12, excuse me, of the Development Guidance Code, the maximum height of any structure other than single-family residential shall be 70 feet as measured from the base plane to the mean roof height. However, it also does give a provision if the structure is located more than 300 feet from any existing single-family residences. Basically, this provision doesn't apply. And looks like the closest single-family residence would actually be located right here or right here within this Grandview subdivision. And so the structures in question would be more than the 300 feet. Per the provisions of Table 3 of the Development Guidance Code, the lot area for this multifamily condominium complex is to be a maximum of 3,000 square feet per dwelling unit. Therefore, when you do the math on this, when you take the 26.18 acres and divide the square footage by 3,000 square feet, you come up with a maximum that's allowed by the Development Guidance Code of 380 condominium units. The property in question is within approximately 300 feet of an existing 12-inch Branson Municipal Sewer Main. Kendall Powell with the City of Branson actually sent me this aerial photo, and it shows the main essentially ending right here. Now, Mr. Powell has indicated to me that he also has plans which indicate that the easement actually extends all the way up to State Highway 265. However, at this point, the City of Branson is still searching for that actual recorded easement that they feel extends to the highway. I did also receive an email from Jake Waters, environmental specialist with the Missouri Department of Natural Resources, and he's basically just indicated at this point that that if a new treatment facility was proposed, that it would require an anti-degradation review, and during that review it would be required that the applicant demonstrate why it wouldn't be feasible to connect to Branson Sewer at that point. And I just measured out approximately, if using Beacon, it comes out to about 289 feet from the end of that sewer main to about the property line. The area in question is served by a public water supply via the Missouri American Water Company. And, of course, this Branson's Nantucket development will be accessed directly via a new access point at the end of State Highway 376. The adjoining property to the north is predominantly vacant. The adjoining property immediately to the south is the Grandview by the Lake residential subdivision. The adjoining property immediately to the east, of course, is State Highway 265, and then the Vineyards condominiums, which is located within the city limits of Branson. And the adjoining property to the west is actually the Stormy Point development in Stone County. The the project received a total score of -1 on the policy checklist out of a maximum score of 59. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of off-site nuisances, solid waste disposal service slopes, use compatibility, building bulk/scale, waste container screening, traffic, usable open space, and lot coverage. The staff recommendations on this, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves, and I apologize, I've got the wrong decision there. Sorry about that. Let's... Let's be sure we've got the... compliance with the with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code, including plans for sediment and erosion control, stormwater management, land grading permit for disturbances over 1 acre, utility easements and building line setbacks, improvements with scale of buildings, streets, on-site parking and utilities, and then F, a complete landscape buffering plan showing the location, size, and planning materials for all buffer yards both adjacent to public rights-of-way and residential property. 2 compliance letters from the Missouri Department of Natural Resources, the Missouri American Water Company, the Missouri Department of Natural, and the Western Taney County Fire Protection District shall be submitted to the Planning Department office, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature. 3 Division II permits will be required for all applicable structures within the development. 4 Prior to the issuance of Division II permits, the applicants shall ensure that the applicable water and sewer connections are in place. Prior to Division II certificates of compliance, a copy of the Western Taney County Fire Protection District Certificate of Occupancy shall be provided to the Planning Department office. No outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. This decision is subject to all existing easements. And 8, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. And we've got just a brief video of this site. And this is the property in question. It's a little hard to tell, but it does drop off pretty quickly toward the lake. And we'll do a quick 360 here. Okay.
Justin, you want to come up, please?
Appreciate the board seeing us on the matter, and certainly would like to convey that we've been working very hard with the city of Branson and Stone County. Bob and I've went back and forth with many. We're kind of a unique situation as we back up against the Stone County border on this particular project. The sewer development that we have down below with the current 30 acres that we have developed in Stone County, we have the option to hook up to that sewer line, which actually connects to this property as the closest continuing authority. We also have the city of Branson that I've been working with Joel and the city administrator and of course, Kendall. And we have the option, if we should proceed in that manner, to bore under 265 and try to hook up to the sewer main that's on the other side. It's yet to become clear to us if the city has that easement. And as I had mentioned to Bob, it would be our desire to, obviously, you know, we've worked hard to meet all the compliance of units and density and height requirements, and we've spoken to many of the neighbors, especially Mr. Bill Fishbaugh, that owns the house that's closest to this development. And Bill's comment said, I bought the house for $750,000 and it's worth about $300,000 now, so anything you can do to improve that, I'd be grateful. So we've worked hard, and I think at this point, I'd mentioned to Bob, I don't know where Branson will come into the picture with it. If they can provide the easement and they can work with the neighboring landowner told me he wanted $250,000 for the easement. And I just was like, well, I'm going to let you and the city of Branson work that out. I have sewer. I also spoke to DNR, and we have the ability to proceed forward with a plant request if we wanted to do that. Either way, the math of the deal, whether we go with the city of Branson, with Stone County, or we build a plant, the magic number seems to be $1 million we're going to spend for the ability to flush our toilets in those units. So we're going to spend it anyway, whether it's with one of those entities. So we're fine with that either way. But I think it's a good fit for the property. We've worked with MoDOT on doing a continuance of the 376 intersection into the property, so we would make a substantial improvement to the intersection of that 376 T that's there now, and it would look very similar to what we have in Branson at 76 and 65 as it comes in with a new CVS and the Chick-fil-A, and that's going almost the same topography, the same amount of grading and excavation and fill. Almost a duplication. So the other thing I'd mentioned to Bob that means kind of a lot to me, we've been able to build several tall buildings and houses and patio homes on the lake. And the way that the property actually lays topography-wise has no impedance. It doesn't hurt our neighbors that set almost, as we'd mentioned in the concept hearing, about 130 foot lower than where our foundations would be there. And even the Grand Point Road area, that buffer along that, the topography change off of the back of their homes is pretty steep down and then comes back up to our property. So I don't even perceive really anybody seeing us except for the 2,000 feet of Highway 265 corridor that we have. So I'm open to any questions. I think it's, you know, that's kind of where we stand with everything in the municipalities around us.
Does anybody got any questions for Justin?
Well, I was wondering about these buildings are going to be how tall?
The buildings that were, the one that we're currently under construction on now, it's 10 stories. And to the top out of it, the top out steel is approximately 128 feet. To the top of it. I mean, the floor of the 10th floor obviously is around 100 feet.
And the water tower that you're going to hook onto is higher than that, yeah. One of the problems with the taller buildings, of course, always is having water.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, it in our experience with anything over about five stories, we have to go, of course, this will be all, this is all red iron engineered steel and concrete. And then we would have to possibly come in at the building we're doing at the bottom of the hill in Stone County. We're coming in with two fire protection mains on each end of the building, and then booster pumping it up. There's no way to get. We're hitting pretty good capacity at that 10-inch main at the bottom of the hill, at about 150 psi and plenty of volume. But you still have to booster it up. It's just. You know,
you are planning on having boosters.
Absolutely, absolutely. It would absolutely be required to meet whether that be you know, the city of Branson's fire requirements or Western Tandy County.
That's all I got on that.
If you do have to hook to the sewer of Branson, is that going to be annexed in the city?
It would. It would. You know, and we're certainly prepared to do that. I think where our owners kind of stood now, and as I asked Bob, I said, you know, I don't want to have to redo all of this in 6 months when the city, you know, and we're not in any neck-breaking speed of a hurry to get, you know, to get going on construction. We have plenty to do. We just purchased the Jim Stafford Theater. We're trying to get that open April 1st. I have a list of things that are plenty long enough without building another 10-story building, but we wanted to give the city of Branson adequate time and not be pushy with them to see if they can accommodate that need. And then when we have all the cards on the table, we would have our requests hopefully done with you guys in the next 2 weeks. And then if we have to go to the city of Branson, our approvals with you are somewhat mute because they would have their own requirements that we would have to be subjective to. But I don't want to get down to that point in 3 months from now and the city say, well, we changed our mind, which this did happen a couple of years ago. There was plans already drawn to relocate the Stormy Point sewer main up to that and push it into the city of Branson when they were struggling and having trouble. And the previous administrator didn't want to accept the deal. And there was other factors with you know, the pumps down the line not being upgraded, and I think City of Branson's made those upgrades since then. But I think as it stands now, the new administrator's great to work with. We have gotten along great with the City of Branson, and we have there's no advantage for us either way. It's just, I just don't want to have to stop this process and then come back and do it in 4 to 6 months if they can't get the easement or if there's a problem. But
what are the building heights for the City of Branson? Are they a problem?
You know, Joel didn't, you know, I'd explained to him what we were planning with you and the requirements and the setbacks we have from our nearest neighbor house with Mr. Fishbaugh and some of those things. And he said that based on your guys' approval and your guys' recommendations, at this time he didn't see anything that would be adversarial to diminishing our number of units. We are overparked. We would have landscaping requirements that are maybe a little more stringent than the county. Of course, the VP of our company, is a registered architect and engineer, so everything's, you know, to the City of Branson IBC code anyway. So, yeah.
So if the City of Branson can't accommodate your sewer needs, is your intention to hook up with them?
I would say that we would certainly look at that with great interest. The only reason I wouldn't say yes completely is the fact that we have a pretty big vested interest into the Box Canyon sewer plant in Stone County right now with the Stone County Sewer District. My concern for them is once that box, we're already $42 million into buildings we're operational into that in Stone County with that Box Canyon plant. They just started construction of the new plant, which will bring them back into a peaceful environment. It's been pretty volatile down there with the DNR and the Stone County Sewer District. But we want to just make sure that we're not harming the people we come to the dance with, because we're doing a lot of business with them. And we don't want to cut the City of Branson out of anything either, but it's something we're just trying to make the best decision. If we can work with Stone County Sewer, and Taney County is obviously our continuing immediate authority, they can't provide sewer because we don't have anything with the county there. The plant, we're either way with. We would give the plant to the county if we built the plant to the county specifications. But I just want to look and see what our options are with Stone County, and we own the 1 acre next to the existing sewer plant in Box Canyon, so we're willing to help them if they need future expansion. This could be a big problem solver to the DNR and to Stone County in the fact that once they build the plant they have under construction now, it's already out of capacity, if you know what I mean. They're going to be in a bind before I turn on the next 50 units that I have that they've already, we've already paid the capacity fee. And so I guess before I say it, I'm just honestly saying to you, I don't want to just jump and say, oh yeah, we're just going to hook onto that. That may be the easiest, the right thing, but there is a sewer line that is absolutely connected to this property, even though it's the 2.5 acres that's in Stone County. It's still part of the 28 acres that we purchased. So I just want to make sure we're doing the right thing. Is it taken away from Branson? Well, it might be, but is it fixing Box Canyon and helping DNR and Stone County? It might be. So that's kind of where it lies, and I don't know that Taney County, our sewer district, has an argue or a fight in the matter. It's just what's the best way to keep everything flowing properly, you know?
Anybody else got any questions?
Did I hear you right that you would build $1 million plant and then turn that over, give it to the county?
Well, that was originally, that was Brad and I's thought when I went to the sewer board. And, of course, when we started this idea we made the acquisition of the property in January, and then I was pursuing what necessary steps we had to do. Brad, obviously, and Bob were the first two phone calls I made. Hey, we just bought this. Let's get together and find out what we need to do. Being that I am in Taney County, you guys are the continuing authority in my area for sewer. So that is correct. I mean, we are completely committed. The owner is committed to building his own plant, and DNR is not opposed to that. Going through their process is about a 7-8 month process, but where the hiccup comes into play is if there is a viable connection with the city of Branson or with Stone County, whomever is closer, whomever can handle it, that then negates that pretty much puts us back at the back burner. I thought it was a great opportunity for us to work with the sewer district and give some push forward with their desire to kind of start getting into that business is based on what we talked about.
I'm sure you put a pencil to it, but I would think either one of those two options would be a lot better than your own plant as far as all the...
Unfortunately, with their capacity fees, when you take 380 units and times it by $1,500, I mean, you know what I'm saying, and you're going to get to almost $1 million before we... However we look at it, I think that with the plant, we were also committed to building a little larger plant so Taney County could have some. We were looking at a 185,000 Smith & Loveless plant that I wanted to put in. And, of course, we would utilize with the 380 units and retail and lobby and, some of the hotel amenity, resort amenity items. We would maximum push 135,000 gallons a day through that plant. And so it was just, it was a great idea, but unfortunately, to meet the DNR regulations, it kind of put the brakes on the sewer district and mine and Brad's ideas. So, and we're okay with that. I mean, like I said, we're just trying to do the right thing and we're trying to direct the funds in the appropriate manner.
Anybody else got any questions for Justin? Okay.
Thank you guys very much.
You folks out there, did you not hear me earlier that if you wanted to speak to sign up, are there any of you that are wanting to speak on something? Okay. I just want to make sure. He's on this Missouri. I've got so many things here in front of me. You're on the Missouri up around 248 deal. Yeah. Gummy Camp USA, are there somebody here for?
Okay. That's case number 2015-4.
Hang on a minute,
okay.
Bob.
Okay.
Just let Justin know. Kind of put him in limbo there.
Yeah.
Okay. March the 16th, 6 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is case number 2015-4, and the project is Gummy Camp USA. The applicants are Tim and Angela Hadler. And the project in question is located at 267 Moark Road. And we'll kind of zoom in here. It's in the Cedar Creek Township, sections 2 and 11, Township 21, Range 19. And the applicants, Tim and Angela Hadler, are requesting the approval of a Division 3 permit authorizing the development of the Gummy Camp, or Glad You Made It Camp, USA, a not-for-profit corporation which is to serve as a healing retreat for U.S. veterans from any war or branch of service. Basically, they've submitted a map via their soil scientists, and the map indicates the location of both some of the structures, and also they're working with the soil scientists as far as digging the pits for the wastewater system, and so it's showing those as well. On November 1st, 2005, this property was previously approved as what was going to be referred to as the Cedar Oak Estates, and it was going to be a 74 single lot residential subdivision, and basically that never transpired. On December 22nd of last year, Scott Starrett wrote a letter to the applicants upon discovering that two new storage buildings that the applicants are planning to utilize as cabins had been placed at 267 Moark Road without the appropriate planning and zoning permits. At this time, the Planning Department office is awaiting the completion of the Division 3 permitting process and also ensuring compliance with the conditions of the decision of record before issuing the appropriate Division 1 or Division 2 permits for the existing structures in question. The proposed Gummy Camp USA will be located on approximately a total of 258.49 acres. And that is split by the assessor's office between a total of three parcels. The current application was approved for concept on February 17th of this year. The proposed Gummy Camp USA again will be it's proposed on a total of about 258.49 acres, and they're seeking the approval of the Planning Commission for this healing retreat for U.S. military veterans. The applicants have indicated that the camp will have a unique program for those who struggle with post-traumatic stress disorder. The applicants have also indicated that the veterans will progress through a multi-level program in which the goal will be to transition them back to civilian life following deployment. The Gummy Camp USA website indicates that at full capacity, the facility will house approximately 30 veterans on a working ranch. The main public entrance is to include a check-in point and administration/welcome building. The administration/welcome building will include an administrative office, meeting room, living museum, and restroom. The applicants, again, are proposing to house veterans in individual cabins that would be scattered throughout the property. Each cabin would be approximately 120 square feet or 10 by 12 in size. The applicants have indicated that each of the cabins will have a single bathroom, including a shower, but no kitchen. During the concept hearing, Angela Hadler indicated that the Gummy Camp will consist of no more than five cabins in phase one of the development. The applicants have indicated that they will be adding small cabins throughout the development following the recommended placement. However, the applicants have given no indications as to the maximum number of cabins that are planned for the camp. The applicants are also proposing to provide housing for veterans and also volunteers via six RV spots with water and sewer hookups. This RV area would have a shared laundry and also a shower house facility. The main center will be a building housing the kitchen slash dining facility for the camp, as well as laundry and shower facilities. The main center is also proposed to have 5 individual rooms, which would provide housing specifically for residents with physical limitations. Each of these rooms will have individual restrooms and showers. The website indicates that the Gummy Camp USA will include a working ranch for both horses and cattle. The camp will also include craft shops, in which local volunteers will be providing handmade crafts to both the veterans as well as camp guests. The website further indicates that the camp will include mechanical shops for both a wood for both woodworking and blacksmith shops. As part of this Division 3 permit, the applicants are also seeking Planning Commission authorization for an annual fundraising concert that would be held on site consistently on Memorial Day weekend for each year. The first on-site fundraising event is scheduled to be held on May 23rd through 25th of this year, or Memorial Day weekend. The Gummy Camp USA is to be a healing retreat for veterans, again on this approximately 258.49 wooded acres. The applicants have indicated that phase one will include the following: an administrative building, which is shown as AB on the map, and that's to serve as a security checkpoint. They've indicated that it's proposed to contain a kitchenette and restroom, 6 RV spots with water and sewer hookup, and the RV area will also include a shared laundry and shower house, and those are indicated as RV on the map. This first phase is to have 5 cabins with a single bathroom, including a shower, but no kitchen, and also a main center. And the main center is to include a large kitchen, dining facility, restroom slash shower, main laundry facility, and meeting and therapy rooms. The staff at this time has found no evidence to suggest that there's currently a functional on-site wastewater or septic system serving the properties in question. Scott Sterrett, the Taney County on-site wastewater permitting, has basically calculated, based on the uses presented in the first phase, that they would generate just over 5,000 gallons a day. And basically any development that generates over 3,000 gallons a day would fall under the provisions of the Missouri DNR. And so likely, even in the first phase, the camp would have to be served by a wastewater treatment facility approved by the DNR. And the staff's really highly recommending that prior to issuing Division 2 permits that we first receive that DNR permit. The properties in question are currently served by an individual well, and the applicants basically will be required to obtain DNR approval for a larger, possibly community well capable of serving the development. The Gummy Camp USA will be accessed via the Mowark Road, the Taney County GIS or beacon system. And I don't know about the accuracy of this, but it's indicating that the current right-of-way is approximately 25 feet in width. If that is the case, the staff really recommends that a condition be placed on the decision of record requiring the applicants to dedicate one half of the deficient right-of-way on that county road. All roads within the development will be required to be built in compliance with the county road standards. And basically on this one, per the parking provisions of the development guidance code, since this is a mixed-use development, they would have to provide a site plan and parking plan for the issuance of each Division 2 permit. The applicants have indicated that the camp will have a unique program for those who struggle with post-traumatic stress disorder. excuse me, on March 5th, the staff spoke with John Sabala, the Veterans Services Director with the Missouri Department of Mental Health, regarding the treatment of PTSD. Mr. Sabala indicated that the Gummy Camp USA will not be regulated by the Missouri Department of Mental Health because it is a private facility. However, upon speaking with Mr. Sabala, the staff is strongly recommending that a condition be placed on the Division III permit decision of record requiring that the Gummy Camp employ a qualified mental health care professional on staff and that this individual be located on site. Mr. Sabala has indicated that an evidence-based treatment is essential for treating individuals with PTSD. Mr. Sabala had actually initially planned to attend the public hearing this evening, but unfortunately was unable to attend. He did send email correspondence, which I've included in the packets. And basically, he had two primary questions. His first question was on the website. It states that the staff will help veterans receive therapy, rehabilitation, and spiritual healing, and this is done through various types of counseling. He wanted to know what type of licensed mental health professionals will be on staff. And secondly, he wanted to know if the staff of the Gummy Camp USA are qualified, will they be using an evidence-based program found on the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administrative National Registry? And if yes, he really wanted to know what specific types of treatment would be utilized. The adjoining property to the north is predominantly vacant and light residential. The adjoining property to the south and to the east is vacant. The adjoining property to the west, of course, is Moorick Road, and then also primarily vacant property as well. The project received a score of negative 53 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 59. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of sewage disposal, rights of way on existing roads, emergency water supply, stormwater drainage, utilities, underground utilities, emergency services, water systems, and traffic. Excuse me. If the staff recommendations on this, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves the, we will have the propose the following conditions: compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code, including plans for the following: sediment and erosion control, stormwater management, a land grading permit for all disturbances of over 1 acre, utility easements and building line setbacks, improvements with scale of buildings, streets, on-site parking and utilities, and F, a complete landscape and buffering plan. Second, compliance letters from the Taney County Road and Bridge Department, the Cedar Creek Rural Fire Protection District, and the Missouri Department of Natural Resources shall be submitted to the Planning Department office, including all other entities which have requirements governing development of this nature. Three, Division II permits will be required for all applicable structures within the development. Four, a valid Missouri Department of Natural Resources construction permit for the wastewater treatment system, providing for the applicable wastewater flows within the Gummy Camp USA, shall be submitted to the Planning Department office prior to the issuance of applicable Division II permits. Five, prior to the issuance of Division II permits, the representative shall submit a DNR construction permit for a well or wells, providing for adequate water surface service to the Gummy Camp USA. Six, prior to the issuance of Division II certificates of compliance, certification shall be provided to the Planning Department office indicating that a qualified mental health care professional, as defined by state and federal guideline regulations, is employed as an on-site staff member of the Gummy Camp USA. A copy of the mental health care professional certification shall be provided to the Planning Department office, indicating that a valid evidence-based treatment program has been established for the treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder if the Gummy Camp is to treat PTSD. 7, all internal roadways within the Gummy Camp USA project shall be constructed in compliance with the Taney County Road Standards. 8, one half of the deficient right-of-way along Morrick Road under the ownership of the applicant shall be formally dedicated to Taney County. 9, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. 10, this decision is subject to all existing easements. And 11, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days, or the approval shall expire. And we've got two videos. The first is just right at the entrance of the proposed gummy camp. We've just done a pretty quick 360 here. And then we've also got just a brief video where we drove a little bit of the property, just the front portion of the property, really. That's the existing well house. And this leads out to a second entrance as well. And I think I videoed that here at the but the secondary entrance is here.
Okay, Angie, you want to come up, please? Anybody got any questions for Angie?
Bob laid it out fairly extensively, so.
Well, I understand that there's some permits needed at this time that haven't been issued?
Yes.
Correct. Division 3.
Are we going to get those?
We are working on getting soil. We had soil samples done. Now we're designing and going to be working with DNR to get the sewer system, wastewater taken care of, and the water problem.
In fact,
whatever they need, we'll be taking care of that.
They'll be getting all the information from the soil evaluation here this week. So.
And you do realize if we require the and take the suggestion of the VA representative that you would have to have the mental health.
Well, we're prepared. We're prepared for that. And a lot of our services on site are more of a retreat opportunity. For instance, if we bring in, we have horse therapy or something like that, the professional will come in, you know, to work with the horses or the canines. So, yes, we will have somebody on site all the time that's prepared to, you know, deal with any kind of situation.
So you're not primarily going to work towards the veterans?
Yes. Oh, yes, yes. But there's different activities that can aid any individual, you know, in their healing. So.
But his suggestion is to have somebody on site 24 hours a day.
Right. Well, there will be somebody on site. The mental health professional will be. If they can't be there, there'll always be somebody there that knows how to get a hold of them, or, you know, I understand that, and we're prepared to follow the compliance, you know, their recommendations.
Anybody else on the
I have
committee?
A question.
Yes.
How much is half of Rareway?
How much
efficiency? How wide is that?
25 would be half of it.
Because we've only got 25 now.
So it needs another 25 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 12 and a half feet.
No. It's another
25. 25 is half, so.
But they would just be required to dedicate half. Yeah, so the 12 and a half.
Okay.
So then it would make it a county road at 25 plus 12 and a half, so 37 and a half feet?
It already is a county road.
Well, yeah, well, it's an existing.
They need to add 12 and a half. They need to add whatever, half of whatever is lacking.
Yes.
What is lacking? Only 12
and a half?
Well, no, it would be 25. The other side would have to take the other 12 and a half.
So who owns the other side?
Well,
they don't have to do it.
They don't have to do it, no.
It should all come off of this property.
They're requiring it.
It should all come off of this property.
No, it should, no.
Not if the other people won't do it.
No.
What's going to make the other people do it?
We just improve what we can as the need arises, but the other side's not obligated unless they develop similar to what these folks, then they're obligated to donate.
But if they don't obligate and they don't need to do that, then that property, that road will never be brought up today.
Well, they're going to increase the size of the road and improve it.
Not all the way. They're going to
have to improve it substantially.
Right.
What is the length of this improvement?
That will hold. How much is that property
It's approximately 1 mile on Moark.
I understand they're not going to improve, but they're going to give the right-of-way.
Half the right-of-way.
Half,
and then the other side is if they ever do anything with it, they will give it, which might not ever happen. But may never happen. Or not in this lifetime. I mean, that's a question that I've got, you know. Because we got a road down there that's half improved, which I don't think we're going to have that tons of traffic in and out of.
Right.
But yet, if we're going to require them to do it and bring it up to county standards, it ought to be up to them to bring it all up to county standards.
Well, it's already there. County standards, county owned.
Yeah, it's a county
maintained. We're only required to donate half of the needed right of way to bring the existing road up to standards whenever that may happen. That's our only obligation. The roads within their property, they have to build them to road standards. There's create roads from scratch. The existing road, they only have to give up half of the necessary right of way.
Additional 25.
Same thing as Sunset End Road, all of them developments. The roads hasn't changed in several years, but the developments along there, they had to give the half of the necessary right of way. So there is additional right of way whenever the need arises to improve the road.
And I believe it's wider than 25 feet. You know, I'm in that area, and I know they're a lot wider than that.
That needs to be surveyed to pinpoint before they have to obligate what right of way they have to get.
There's been cases in the past where actually the people wanting the project have given enough land, but it has to be voluntary. I mean, there's nothing that can force you to do. But if you really want the project to move forward to give the county enough right-of-way where they can do it on that side, which is not totally fair because the ones on the other side didn't.
Right.
But a lot of times to advance your project, why it might be worth the extra land that it cost you.
The reason why I was asking was if we have to move those two buildings that are there, right. I want to know how far we got to move them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
If I were going to, personally, if I had the two buildings there and I'm going to move them, I'd move them far enough back where they wouldn't be affected again.
It wouldn't
but
matter.
That's what I was asking. Why? Yeah. How far?
That's
well, the county on the roads has to have a 50-foot right-of-way anymore. It may not be all used up, but they have. Right. That's the standard of which we're working with now.
Plus whatever
from the center of the black, 25 feet, and then your setback, and go a couple of feet after.
Yeah.
That. Good advice. Okay.
I'm only going to ask you to add on half of it. I'm not going to penalize you.
Well, like I said, that would be voluntary, but that's just for the thought. I mean, that's the thought process. Because it has been projects that have been done that way. Where it, but it's voluntary. We can't require it.
Correct.
Anybody else got any questions? Firm? Nope. March the 16th.
All right.
6
Thank
o'clock.
You, thank you.
This thing there, it's working now. Yeah. Wow. Okay, Missouri Ridge. I've not got a name.
It's Steve.
Apologize.
Yeah, this is case number 2015-5. The project is the Missouri Ridge Distillery. The current property owners are Thomas H. and Mamie Scott Foundation, and the representatives are Greg and Julie Pope. The project in, or the property in question is located at 7000 State Highway 248. We'll kind of zoom in here. It's in the Branson Township, Section 2, Township 23, Range 22. The representatives, Greg and Jolie Pope, are requesting the approval of a Division 3 permit authorizing the development of the Missouri Ridge Distillery, a small batch artisan distillery. The subject property is approximately 16.14 acres, and the property in question has been utilized agriculturally for a number of years. It basically contains an existing barn that was constructed in 1947 per the assessor's information. The property is currently, like I said, an agricultural property that contains horses. The current application was approved for concept on February 17th this year. The representatives have indicated that they plan to construct an approximately 1,800 square foot colonial style barn structure which will house the distillery. This distillery will be approximately in the same location on the tract as the existing barn, and the applicants did provide us with some copies of some elevations that I've provided to everybody today, and then we've also put them into the PowerPoint presentation as well. The representatives have indicated that the Missouri Ridge Distillery will be open to the general public from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Sunday. They've also indicated that they would like the ability to be for business to be open for private events from 7 p.m. to midnight. That was very similar to the other distillery project that was approved. Product tasting will be allowed during the concept hearing. The representatives indicated that a tasting, from my understanding, is defined as one measured ounce of product. The representative has indicated that they will likely sell these tastings or flavored shots by the drink. The representatives have indicated that the Missouri Ridge Distillery will eventually employ between 10 and 15 people. Upon gaining Division III permit approval, the representatives will be required to obtain a distilled spirits plant permit via the Federal Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau, or the TTB. The staff recommends that a condition be placed on the Division III permit decision of record requiring submission of a copy of the of this permit in question. Once the representatives have received an approved DSP permit via the TTB, they will be required to obtain a liquor manufacturer solicitor license via the Alcohol and Tobacco Control Division of the Missouri Division of Public Safety. The staff recommends that a condition be placed on the Division III permit, requiring a copy of that state permit as well. The representatives have indicated that the Missouri Ridge Distillery, like I said, will sell shots of the distilled product as part of the business. The Taney County Development Guidance Code states that any business, operation, or establishment that sells alcohol beverages by the drink which exceed a 12% alcohol content shall be required to acquire a special use permit. This requirement does not apply to packaged liquor sales or by the drink sales that do not exceed 12% alcohol content. Even though the representatives are seeking the approval for the Missouri Ridge Distillery via a Division III permit, per the provisions enumerated above of the Development Guidance Code, the sale of liquor by the drink would be viewed as requiring a special use permit, which would not be transferable without Planning Commission approval. The proposed location of the Missouri Ridge Distillery would be in compliance with the provisions of alcoholic beverage sales, which would require it to be at least 1,000 feet from any school or church. And so we wouldn't have any schools or churches within that 1,000-foot distance. The property in question will be served by a private well and also an on-site septic system. The property falls within the jurisdiction of the Western Taney County Fire Protection District. The fire district will have a maximum seating capacity for the establishment, as well as life and safety regulations regarding the construction of the structure. The most similar use listed within the parking provisions of the code book would likely be the classification for restaurants, bars, clubs, bowling alleys, and similar uses, which would require one space for every 3 fixed seats and or 30 square foot of floor area used for assembly. Please note, however, that the fire district may have more restrictive parking requirements. If the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code that include plans for the following: sediment and erosion control, stormwater management, a land grading permit for all disturbances of over 1 acre, utility easements and building line setbacks, and improvements with scales of building, streets, on-site parking, and utilities. Second, compliance letters from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District and the Taney County Health Department, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature, shall be provided to the Planning Department office. Third, the Missouri Ridge Distillery shall be open to the general public from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Sunday. The business shall be open for private events from 7 p.m. to midnight. Division II permits shall be required for all applicable structures in the development. Number 5, prior to the issuance of any Division II permit, a copy of both the Federal Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau Distilled Spirits Plant permit and also the State Alcohol and Tobacco Control Division permit shall be provided to the Planning Department office. 6, prior to the issuance of Division II Certificates of Conformance, the developer shall first present a Certificate of Occupancy from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District. Number 7, the sale of alcohol by the drink exceeding 12% alcohol content has been approved as a special use permit. Therefore, the permit for that specific use is specific to the applicant to whom the permit is issued and cannot be transferred without Planning Commission approval. 8, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. 9, this decision is subject to all existing easements. And 10, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. And we've got just a very brief video of the property. It's my understanding that the distillery itself would essentially be located in this same location as the existing barn. And we do just a quick 360.
Okay.
Sorry.
Anybody got any questions for Greg?
I've got a question. Is this going to be commercial, going to be open to the general public, correct?
Yes, sir.
The entrance, you plan to use it. Should we have something from compliance qualification?
Yeah, we
from
do.
Missouri Department of Transportation as far as site distance and commercial entrance?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're right. I have missed that.
If the existing one meets compliance, that's all I'm looking for. And they would have to, they have the jurisdiction over that one.
And as I said in the conceptual, I plan on adding another or an additional entrance just to the south of the barn so that there's an entrance and egress. To facilitate whether you're going to go, you know, north or south on 248 to make it easier for you to get in and out of there.
Have you talked to MoDOT to see if they're happy with the line of sight you've got, the location you want?
I have not, but I have no doubt that they will be. It's almost level ground. There's a minimal transition, and there's nothing in the way. Moreover, there are some trees that are currently blocking line of sight that will be removed for this entrance area, so it would make it a better and more user-friendly entrance and exit, even for cars, just as they come down, because there's that little bit of a bend where the highway is. There's just a little transition right there, but there's a couple of trees there that, you know, if you're looking way down the road, might block your view that would be gone.
What is the speed limit? Front of your property.
Honestly, don't know. Yeah, I think it's 45.
45, probably. Is it?
55, I'm not sure.
I think it's 55.
Yeah, it's 55. I doubt if you get into the 55 till you get up further north, sir. Anyway.
As long as it meets your guidelines, I mean,
just being subject to MoDOT's approval.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Bob's going to
care. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll make sure.
We're covered.
Yeah. Yep.
It'd be up to them. What's here? We've got the business will be open private events from 7 to midnight. What's these events going to consist of?
In the event somebody wanted to do like a wedding reception there, or perhaps like during the grand opening ceremony, I've spoken with the band Missouri Boat Ride to come out and just do a concert. They're a bluegrass band. Things like that. You know, I don't know what. What may come, but I'm trying to cover my bases ahead of time. Like I had said in the conceptual, I don't have any intentions of being a bar owner. You know, I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to stay open late at 7 o'clock. I want to be home. I don't want to be sitting there with somebody else, you know, but as events may arise, or somebody says, you know, hey, can I rent your facility for this or that? Or, you know, I want to be able to have that option.
Do you have plans to sell any of the spirit other than what's distilled on site?
I don't think so. Not spirit-wise. as far as a distilled product, but potentially a beer and or wine. As a distiller, you manufacture beer and wine and then distill it into your spirits. So I'll have beer and wine that I make, but as a beginning stage, I don't know. If one of the local wineries wanted me to offer their spirits, I might be open to it. I don't know. I haven't given it any thought, you know. But I know that I'll be making beer and wine and then distilling it into whiskey or, you know, cognacs or brandies.
But if somebody wants to pick up a fifth of Jim Beam, it's not your place where they're going to go to get
No,
it.
Sir. Not for Jim Beam. But yeah,
it's your own product.
Yes, sir. It'll be only my product, spirit wise that I sell. You know, if Mothers comes at me with a big chunk of money and says, "Here, sell my beer," I might entertain it. You know, but the reality is, I'm already going to be making beer to distill into whiskey. So I'll have my own beers available should somebody choose to sample them. But yeah, I'm not a bottle shop, you know. I'm not going to be a Macadoodles where I'm selling everybody else's product, you know. But you know, I mean, if Jim was here earlier, who owns Copper Run, if he wanted to say, you know, here, sell my rum since I don't make rum,
you mean something close to
I might be inclined to do that. I don't know. I don't know that he would offer. I don't know that I would accept. But I don't have a.
Is your intention to sell your own product?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yep. No. I'm here to make money.
And there's nobody living in the place across the road.
No, there's nobody for a long ways.
Yeah, that's pretty. It's not livable, the one across the road.
No, yeah, it's got a great big hole in the middle of it.
I looked the other day, the rooster fell in on it.
Yep.
Anybody else got any questions for Greg? I guess we'll see you March
next
the
Monday.
16th.
At Fantastic.
6 o'clock.
Thank you.
Any old or new business anybody wants to talk about?
Well, Mr. Jeske is here now.
Yes, I was just going to say the same thing.
Oh, I didn't recognize you dressed in black.
Sorry, this project just doesn't seem to want to get off the ground. I can't seem to get Monday on in my mind. I think this board meets on Tuesday.
And I've gone ahead and read the staff report at this point. Do you?
Has anybody got any questions for? I apologize. I moved you, Jerry.
Yeah.
You're Jerry.
Yes, I'm Jerry.
Anybody got any questions for Jerry? Hey, folks. Could you guys take that outside, please?
Boy, you're mean.
I've been wanting to do that all night. Okay, Jerry. Anybody got any questions for Jerry?
What's the width in between the storage buildings?
I think I have them laid out at 30 feet.
Yeah, they probably should.
30.
Yes.
And then at least 30.
On the outside, except for the far north. Building in the northwest corner.
Since you guys voted the table,
doesn't need, there's no need to access the right up to the set.
Hang on a minute, fellas. We got we tabled this, voted to table this.
So I make a motion to untable it.
Everybody in favor?
All right.
Thank
Opposed?
You.
Are we good now?
Yeah.
Now we're far as
for the minutes.
Okay, now for the official thing.
Now,
okay, so we've established the width in between the storage facilities at 30 feet. So the width from the 10-foot setback, are you going to sit right on top of that?
The building on the west boundary line? Uh-huh. Yes, because there's no access to eat to the back side of it or the north side of it.
And so the width from the 10-foot setback line to the next building is 6,000 or?
The 6,900, yeah.
Okay, between here and here.
Are you able to drive around that one?
Yes.
Okay. And is that 30 feet?
Yes, it should be.
30 at the narrowest point or the widest point?
I think I designed them all to be 30 feet apart, so.
Is your plan to scale?
Yes.
The one building on the end has only got entrance on one side, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
There wasn't enough space on the site to put a double-sided building.
Scale, it doesn't appear that you have 30 feet from the narrow end.
Then it must be 25. It's either 25 or 30. I don't recall.
There's a big water main runs down the front of that property.
In a 15-foot. In a 15.
Have you been in contact with them and you're set back far enough where you're not?
It's inside a 15-foot utility easement. And we're set back.
You're set back. The easement then.
Yeah, we're set back 25 from the front property line. So we'd be 10 feet outside that easement.
Okay.
Where's your proposed entrance off the show?
Wherever the city will let us have it.
Hold on a minute.
No.
Hold on a minute. Go over and shut that door. Ask him to go on around the corner, please, when they're still coming in the background.
They've been sampling the product.
So have you been given any indication of when that will be decided?
Thank you.
After I apply for it. I've talked to the city about an entrance up in the area of the power line easement, and they said they seem to be in agreement with that. There's Casey's also has an entrance at the southeast corner, if north is up, that I'm sure we could work with Casey's if we had to. But that would be a worst-case scenario.
There's a drainage issue on the back side of that property.
You're talking about the one on,
on
Casey's, they've got a retainer wall built there on that.
Not yet, they don't.
That's at the corner of Shepherd and 248. On the back side of Casey's, that's up to your land.
Right.
They have a huge drainage issue that they've been working on.
Oh, yeah. I was back there on Saturday. There was water standing back there, so
yeah.
I'm not surprised. It looks like there might have been an old pond there or something.
I know we had a problem with on that drainage issue you're talking about. We had a water leak in the middle of the road there at one point in time, and we spent probably 2 years before we got our resolve because you could never tell whether it was a leaking or whether it was the drainage issue.
Jerry, the issue keeps coming up about whether you should be annexed in the city or not. What is your main objection to that? Being that you're going to, is what you want to
cost.
Do.
Cost. Cost is the
initial
main.
Cost?
Not only the cost of annexing, the cost of tree removal, and going through their whole building inspection process, which causes delays and added expense.
Right.
I mean, we want to build a facility that people want to rent. We're not talking about building tar paper shacks.
Sure.
We're building nice metal buildings that will have good access for our tenants. We want to be a good, clean, attractive facility, but I've just never had a good experience working with the city. It's just far easier to deal with your regulations and your staff than it is the city's.
Yeah. The only problem that I see with going through the county is you're surrounded by city. And if we do it to county standards, then, you know, it could be an ugly fight down the road.
The city's had the option to annex this property for a long time. For whatever reason, they've chosen not to. They may ask me to eventually voluntarily annex, and we may after all the buildings are constructed, just so that we'll have their fire protection and their police. But at this point, I don't really see the need to do that. If we needed their sewer you know, we'd have to do that. But we don't have any office on the property. We've taken our laundry facility off the table, so we don't really need anything they're offering at this point.
Well, I would like to have one thing before next week. And the only reason I'm asking for it is I'd like for you to get in contact with Chance King with Water District 3 and make sure where that connector line goes from the well comes out there to the highway. I'm just about half afraid you're putting a building on a connector line. And I'd like to be reassured that
There's no easement. There's no recorded easement for the well if it's on the property. Is there a well on the property?
No, not a well on the property. It comes from the other one. in there behind the tower. But there is a water main comes over there and feeds the one that goes north and south, or east and west.
I researched all the recorded easements. The only recorded easement is the 15-foot utility easement across the
front. If you won't check with Chance, I will.
Well, no, I'll check
with him. My own mind.
I'll check
because
I
think there's a water line in there, and we don't want you to build on top of water line. You don't want to.
I don't want to build on
your water line. You don't want to. That's why it may be perfectly all right. I don't know.
Well, that's a good point because we haven't closed on the property yet. So if there's a water line running diagonally across the property, that kind of makes a big difference about how much I'm going to pay for it.
Just give them a call. They'll help you look it up, and it won't take long, and everybody's mind will be at ease.
Yeah, I'll call them tomorrow.
I appreciate it.
I just want to clarify one thing. I may be out of bounds. I do work for the city. Mm-hmm. So as far as fire protection and police protection, there's mutual aid agreements. So we're the ones that are going to show up first if there's an issue. So it's already there. So you do get our protection if there's an event.
Anybody else got any questions?
If you decide to hook onto the sewer, of course, you got to obey the city's rules. As a local contractor, I know what you're talking about. And I might want to research this, but if you go ahead and build this and don't build it to, I think, I-309, and then decide to annex later to hook onto the sewer, you may be required to bring those buildings up to an acceptable standard before they will annex you. I'm not sure.
No, I've already talked to the city about that.
Okay.
They'd have to accept the property the way it's constructed. It would be grandfathered. Any future construction we did that wasn't in place at the time of annexation, we'd have to meet whatever their building standard is at the time.
And after you get these buildings all up, then it's your intention to go and put your laundry in the cold sewer?
No. No, we're looking at a different site.
So all it's going to be there is the...
Just the storage.
Storage.
Yep.
There's not going to be anybody there, H5 or anything?
We have a kiosk to operate the property. You can go rent at the kiosk, pay at the kiosk, and then we have an office in Rockaway Beach with our staff.
An automated system?
Yes.
Anybody else got any questions? Have we got anything in there, Bob, about security lights or anything on that, if they want to be up?
I don't think we do right now.
Yeah, we would need to do that.
Okay.
Maintain them onto the property.
Yeah. Okay.
Anybody else? Any questions?
I'm good.
You good, Dave?
I didn't know you were waiting on
me. No, you were talking about the water deal. I want to make sure you're good.
Well,
on that
I've got we'll be looking at it next week and see what's happened, what's transpired.
Everybody good? Mm-hmm. We'll see you March the 16th at 6 o'clock.
Thank you very much.
That's 6 o'clock.
Yeah, I got that. I already put the right time in my phone. I got the right date this time.
Yeah, a week from today.
You can tease me again next week.
Any old or new business we need to talk about?
Well, I'd like to hear from Bob about the concerns he has on Gummy Camp.
Sure.
Isn't that what you were talking about?
I think on Gummy Camp, I just have a number of concerns.
There's a lot of concern.
Being open with
you. I think they ought to be brought up so everybody hears them, you know.
Never get off the ground.
Yeah, we can't.
It'll never fly if you okay it.
Yep. Well, it's not us to say whether it's going to succeed.
It'll make
or
not. A bit of difference. That's right. That's
the only thing you can do is put enough restrictions on it to where you're happy and then.
I just don't want to get a bunch of crazies out there with nobody.
Well, that's why I brought that up. Because
well, that's what I'm concerned about. That's
if there's somebody going to be on facility 24 hours a day, it's going to take at least 3
She didn't exactly answer your question.
No, she didn't. She ran around.
No.
It.
She went away around it.
Yeah, way around.
So,
We do is just follow the recommendations, and if they can't provide somebody there 24 hours a day,
the bad thing is we'll never police it.
Yeah, that's true. I can't argue that.
If somebody goes wild, like you say, and
unless the VA shoots a bunch of there.
Well, they're not VA. It's associated with VA. So yeah. Why should VA? I don't think they should be advertising for
VA people.
Well, for
rehabilitation.
Rehabilitation, unless you have the staff.
You can't do it.
See, that's my biggest fear.
Yeah, and we really don't have the right to ask them. Well, how's this going to be funded? This is a top question in my mind, but we don't have the right to ask them that.
Exactly.
I have asked for it. I said just for my personal concerns. What's your plans? But I let them know that was my personal concern. It wasn't just that.
Well, they're going to have to put 50-foot right-of-ways down through their paved roads. Is that right? Is that what we're talking about?
They're going to have 50-foot right-of-ways and roads that meet the road standards. They don't have to be paved.
They can be crushed rock, right?
I mean, you can have a gravel road, but it just has to meet our requirements within the facility. Inside the boundary.
But actually, if you're in a first-class county, ultimately you're supposed to pave all the roads.
Property.
Yeah.
Well, they never turn them over. They just
I read that somewhere.
That's one of our requirements.
If you're going 50-foot right-of-way.
If I have a trailer park, I've got to have 50-foot right-of-ways of that high.
If it's built new today.
Meets rope standards. You can. Depends on the density, whether it's gravel, paved, or whatever, chip seal, based on your lots. If you
I'm just going to have a bunch of trailers out here. I'm going to have one-way road around the whole thing.
Should be curbed?
If they're built new, right? Well, if it's built new today, it has to be up to the county standard, whether it's gravel or what.
Yeah. Whether it's just a private road.
Well, no, they're not saying that's private, though.
Yeah.
Doesn't that have to be platted and stated as private or gated community? That's the other. They've got to state that on the plat, right?
Well, and on on Gummy Camp, it's just going to stay under a single ownership, too.
Not going to be selling anything.
Yeah, they're not going to be.
I understand that, but here's the other thing.
It won't be lot at all.
I want a reasonable road built there. What if one of them cabins catch fire and you've got to have a fire truck get back there?
Exactly.
It's going to be hard to take a four-wheeler and a.
You probably drove back there the other day in the mud, didn't you?
Well, it's going to be I understand, but try to get an ambulance back.
If it hadn't been
like
frozen,
that,
we wouldn't have made it through there.
But a lot of times you don't even have to fit.
Yeah, it didn't look too whoopy.
We just went out there when it was
wet. I don't think we ought to approve it.
That might be the deal, is to approve it and make some stipulations that they can't. I mean, never make it fly, but.
But how are you going to make them all go out there and make them stipulation all flat?
How can you tell them you can't do it?
Most of our regulations is complaint generated anyhow.
Yeah.
That's why we're down there now in the first place. There's been a complaint.
There has been.
Yeah, they've already started.
You know, it's complaint generated.
That's the prompt of it.
We want you to maintain it now.
It's going to have 30.
Well, it's going to generate $1.5 million a year.
It's going to have 30 people down there working. But the way it worded it, it don't say where it's people or families. So you just turned it from 30 to 60.
Yeah.
See store
up there
for
coffee?
So how's the sewer even going?
Okay, that brings
a community well.
Bob, I got a question. This Gummy Camp, this whole big property, that falls through and they got a sewer plant down there. What changes if they decide to, they'd have to come back to us if they decide to go back and subdivide that and start.
Yeah, they really would.
Yeah,
so yeah they would.
They can't do that without coming back to the board.
No.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Well, once they see how much sewer.
Well, they can't legally.
Yeah. But, I mean, they're going to apply it anyway.
What
this
was
one
the
big
project
part
that
now,
I
right?
noticed?
Well, yeah. Yeah. It is this one.
Hose so running down.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
That was the water system. Did you see in the picture that hose running?
Yeah, currently their well has one hose that's running down to that RV.
Yeah.
And so that's.
Maybe can we say until it's brought up and permits?
Would you like for me to correct them or one at a time?
300-foot line to connect to City of Branson.
Well, just like the permits for the buildings, we really weren't going to issue those until we had permits for the wastewater. You know,
hey, guys.
This is an example.
Bonita's having a hard time putting this all down on regular with everybody talking, so one at a time, please.
I didn't want to put it down.
Well, we're still in session here.
Yes,
so,
we're still in session.
So,
and I share the concerns on that project. I don't think it'll ever happen, but you give them a permit, and I need to agree with Steve here. that we do all we can to regulate it and give. Probably one of our main lines of enforcement the first thing would be sewer permit.
Yeah, I mean, we just can't flat say we just can't allow it.
But I don't know whether we have the jurisdiction to say it has to be in place. There's people living
they're already not in place.
They're out of compliance now.
Yeah, they really are.
They've got two buildings sitting down there now that's kind of out of kilter.
Well, that's probably not 200 feet deep.
Yeah. And a porta potty sitting off to the left.
Mentioned about that sewer plant on the left.
So if that's the only sewer plant they got, that'll probably be what they'll want to work on from now on.
That's a containment system.
They'll have one of them at each building is what they'll have if you don't go down there and do something, keep an eye on it. So I don't know.
Or a 55-gallon drum at each.
Well, I didn't understand the cabin situation. There's no kitchen in it.
No.
There's some significance.
Well, they're wanting to put a. They're wanting to put a.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Bathroom. Oh, they want king size beds, so there's not room for a kitchen.
They're wanting to hold it down to what they call five bedrooms so that they don't have six units, so they don't have to talk to the VNR and they put in a septic system.
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to do.
Yeah, they're trying to avoid a whole bunch of stuff. Well, it's our job.
They've got to talk about the DNR regardless of what they do.
Yeah. It's our job, though, to try to head that off and make it something we won't be ashamed of later.
Isn't that why he's getting the soil samples?
Basically, the soil scientist has told them that they have to get a DNR permit. So.
Well, if they do that, and you're sure, and another thing or two, they'll see that it's going to cost them way too much to even start.
Yeah, and then it won't have. But that might be our handle right there is a DNR permit. And it has to be in place before they live in there.
We can't rely on it, though. I mean, if they get it,
nobody showed up and
we've got to make sure they've got somebody down there that knows what they're doing.
Nobody knows nothing.
Oh, exactly.
Ain't nobody lives within 600 foot of it.
No. Is it your intent that we need to kind of talk about each situation if we've got questions at this point between these pretty groups? Okay.
On this project?
Any of them.
Yes, on any of them.
I see I got a project one on 248.
Bonita, do we have to keep this on record as long as we're discussing each one of these? I mean, are you...
So usually the minutes are pretty generalized.
I think Bonita and Bob agreed with me. I think we talked about this a little bit. It would help all of us since there's so many of us on here now. I mean, me and you and us three and
Steve.
Anyway, the ones who's on here. Yeah, we've got so many on here now that. I think we're to talk about these things after every public hearing, so you kind of know what you're going into the regular meeting. And instead of waiting until the regular meeting and then do all this for 2 hours.
You guys say something stupid.
Well, we can't help that.
I represent that.
And for example, the thing there behind Casey's.
I know we can't do it, but we need to make him annex.
The only way the city...
No, you can't make him do it.
We can't do it.
That's what I was thinking, too.
That's the only little orphan piece of ground there. I
come to the city, never did.
Well, I may have given him a little hurdle there because unless I've forgotten where those water lines go.
I think you're right. Because I called Chance about that, and he had no idea about the project. And he said,
Chance talked to me about it.
Right down the side of that property. And yeah. Where he's got those buildings laid out. That's why I asked him what the width was.
You was going the same place I was.
Where he's going is that if it ain't on easement, he's going to build.
I'm going to call Chance in the morning and make him aware of it, or you can.
Hopefully, you can get him to answer his phone.
I'll go down there and I'll thump his head if he don't stop.
That water line's running catty corner across that property. He can't build a boat.
If you'll notice on that picture, there's a little cleared area right there.
Yeah, a cleared area in there.
I think that water line goes right through there.
And just as a hypothetical, so I'll understand, if that line did run across there and there was not a recorded even where the line was, why couldn't he build that?
Well, he could, but
because the line's already in place, even though it is not a recorded easement. Which there's a lot of places not the way. But if you're made aware that the line is in place, then you come under a grandfathered easement and you go ahead about your business and they can't build on top of you.
Okay.
I've been down that trail a time or two.
Well, I had that problem.
Who has the most money in their pockets for the lawyer?
There you go.
If you're
going to
use bad language, we're
going to
close
the
door. I don't know how to use that lawyer for the
That's two words I've never wanted to utter. No, my lawyer.
Why did he change his mind on the laundromat? What's
he's going to have to have water and he's going to have to annex. And he'll have to pay an impact fee to Water District 3.
What's that
going
to cost him to do that now, initially, to begin with?
It's a double whammy on that.
$2,000?
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah, see, that's why I kept bringing that up.
If you're going to build them buildings, why wouldn't you want to spend $2,000 and go ahead and get it done?
It's because he doesn't want to.
Well, plus, you got to pay per tree, so because the tree removal fee, and then you have to put some type of green space back.
How many acres is
it? Well, the trees, it's a how many trees, that's the question.
No. I mean, how many acres? How much clearing can he do in the county with just a clearing permit?
Much as he wants.
Well, if it's over an acre,
he
doesn't have to have permit. If it's less.
Land disturbance.
That's what I'm asking. How much land is he talking about over here? A couple acres.
Yeah, but he can get a land disturbance permit.
Right. Yes.
Well, if he's really wanting to beat the system, he ought to get a land disturbance permit. Those are all the trees, then apply for annexation. You guys won't have any trees count.
That's true.
And he can do that.
That's kind of where
he's burns on that, then I have to go out and stop him.
Well, he wouldn't have to burn them. He could haul them off.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be cheaper to haul them off anyway.
After the meeting, I'll tell you a burning story.
If you take a bunch of green trees and try to douse them with diesel, it's high dollar nowadays.
Tires is cheaper.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I don't know of anybody that...
Calm down. I'm looking for you.
I just couldn't help myself.
The only place they burn tires is in Cedar Creek or Bradleyville or over in that country.
Or in the dark.
We've got some up there along Highway 160. It's liable to catch fire one of these nights.
Yeah, I don't.
They've been abandoned.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a sign up now that says free tires. I just can't hardly wait to stop.
There's some tin ply there. Pick me up some.
And let me get a pencil and get the sizes.
Are they any of these other things we want to talk about before we go back?
Well, I want to know what everybody's feelings are on the Nantucket, Branson Nantucket property.
I think it's going to solve itself.
By?
Well,
on what part of it are you talking about, Rick?
I'm concerned about the sewer. I could care less about the...
Well, he'll have to, on a project of that magnitude, he is going to have sewer disposal with a project like that. Just he's got to have the water and he's got to have...
Right, but if he gets hooked up with Stone County, you know, and that's his intent, is to hook up and...
He's got to have DNR approval anyhow, and that supersedes anything we might decide. Sure, of course.
And that's the way it reads. Yeah. It's going to be hooked to Branson.
If Stone can't handle it, then it'll be hooked to Branson.
I think
Bob pretty well got it covered on the thing. I'm not too worried about that.
It's going to make a big difference if Kendall has that easement.
That's kind of the key right now.
I think it's there because I was involved with the Vineyards project, and I remember that happening because they extended it up.
Yeah.
Of course, that convenience store kind of brought it into play, but I think it's there.
In my mind, that's going to make all the difference.
So we don't have to really put any other conditions than what you have now, even though it needs to be hooked to Branson.
Well, he's got that part of his development is in Stone County, and they've got a plant that holds that's been sized for that.
But it's very, I mean, he's got like 2 acres in Stone County.
But what he sounded like that he was having, they were having trouble with that plant.
Yeah. Over capacity already.
So
the amount of money he's going to spend on the building construction alone, plus putting fire pumps in all three buildings, that's high dollar.
Yeah.
So the other stuff's pocket change compared to what he's using.
$1 million is minimal on this project.
10-story buildings at 380 units.
I'm not real wild about the density on that much property, but it meets.
I'm surprised they don't have any amenities. I didn't see a swimming pool or a clubhouse or activity area.
No, that surprised me too. I was the same way. No, I was just agreeing with you.
There's no other building that's for that.
I think it will be another phase. Yeah.
We got a house requirement.
We do. We do, but only if it's within 300 foot of a house.
Don't make any difference,
basically.
That's why I ask about the city, if it ends up being annexed in the city, and then you should
just have to have water flow and hydrant space.
I said that in our...
Or do the fire pump.
It's 70 feet if it's within 300 feet of the house.
You don't care about how you go.
Well, it's closer.
Yeah, so if it was closer to housing,
then it would
come into... And I think the intent was probably preserving views, ensuring you don't have something that blocks somebody's view.
I thought I read where it states that you can just go a certain amount of feet no matter what. No?
Yeah, it's got that little disclaimer for basically it accepts out once it's over 300 feet from a residence.
Steve, I've got something. We got into all that when Jerry Nathan built all that stuff there south of town. That's where all that...
Ronnie, I remembered your name there, buddy.
Oh, you called me Steve while ago.
Steve, too.
That's Rick.
I'm Rick. Sometimes I'm Dave.
Are you going to offer somebody a motion?
I made a motion.
Ronnie made a motion.
It's been seconded.
Oh, okay.
Before we do that, wasn't you talking about something?
No. He won't go home, too.
Okay. Ronnie made the motion. Who seconded it?
Randy seconded it.
Randy seconded. Everybody in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed.